This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
And welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor. And I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every Saturday morning we are here and we're doing life together. And we're so glad that you've joined us again.
That's right. We would like for you to do life with us as well. You can join the conversation at Dr. Linda's My Faith Radio page and be a part of the blog. You can leave a question, a comment, or answer the question of the week. Dr. Linda's Facebook page is Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker. Her Twitter is at Dr. Linda Helps, and her website is drlindamental.com. So there are several ways you can be a part of the show.
And I love to hear the comments. I love to see the comments people leave. And we're getting to the point where we're going to be able to have you do that on a more regular basis. So be looking at that My Faith Radio page so that you can see what the topic of the show is and you can comment on it. We love to see those and read those. And it really is a great part of the show to have people do that.
Sometimes it's funny.
Yes, or sometimes they are pretty funny.
Touching. You really don't know what
you'll get. And some people are deep. Some people have deep wisdom and great wisdom in there, so we really do like to add that into the show. Are you going to be able to focus with me today? Are you going to be okay?
I'm not sure.
You think you might have gotten bit by a bat.
We are not supposed to talk about this.
Oh, I know, but you're like not even focusing with me here, so I discerned about you.
We had a bat in our house that I ended up asleep in the same room with.
Oh, my goodness.
And so now everyone I talk to is convinced that I was bitten by that bat, and I've got rabies, and I have got to get a shot.
Did you feel the bat biting
you? No. See, I'm a very light sleeper. So as soon as I heard this noise...
Some fly of wings.
Yeah, I woke up and flipped the light on, and there was a bat.
Well, if you did get bit, now your wife took it to be analyzed, didn't she, at the health department? So you will know. And then you will have to have a rabies shot. So
that's
are you going to be okay for the rest of the show, not knowing your fate?
If you see me salivating, then we have a problem.
We're making jokes, but you know what? We really have a pretty serious topic today on the show.
Right.
Maybe we needed that because we're going to go into something that's pretty serious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you a story on the news. I want you to listen to this.
Okay.
So he was a man employed by a boss whose wife decided to make a play for him sexually.
Mm-hmm.
The man refused. This really angered the wife so much so that she went to her husband with a false accusation. So spurred on by that rejection, she told her husband that the employee tried to come on to her sexually. Well, the employer believed his wife, not the employee, because he was thinking, well, why would she make something like that up? So this employee was charged with a crime and was sent to jail. Do you remember that story?
No, I do not.
You don't remember that story?
I do not remember.
It was a twist.
I would say, yeah.
This is the story of Joseph in the Bible.
Oh, got you. Now, Matt, the producer, is acting like he knows.
Did you know, Matt, what I was doing?
I was ready for you to make an analogy about how it was like Joseph.
Okay.
I wasn't expecting it to be all about Joseph.
That's the story of Joseph.
I was thinking Joseph in my head.
Yeah, this is what it would have looked like on today's news cycle.
I see, okay.
Chris was lost over here. He thought it was a real story.
He was searching his head about when was that story in the news? When was that story in the news? About 2,000 years ago, actually. No, even longer than that. Before Jesus, right? So it is a story that could be on our news today.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we've heard a lot of stories of false accusations in the news. Some of them have proven to be true. Others have not. So this is tough when you are accused. I mean, when you think about Joseph and what he went through when he was trying to be pure and do the right thing and push away Potiphar's wife, because this was Potiphar's wife who did this to him. And still, she lied about him and he was sent to prison.
Wow. That's just not fair.
It's not fair.
And it happens a lot.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we do is we learn from how Joseph responded to that. And boy, it was a long time. It wasn't like he got out of prison very quickly.
Right.
So he had to endure some things under that false accusation.
So today's program is about false accusations and how we deal with that.
And really how we're going to respond to those when we've been falsely accused, because it happens I think it happens more now because of social media.
I think that's the biggest problem, because we've always been sinful. Mankind has not changed since day one, and we hear about more awful people today than we ever have. It's because of the internet.
Well, and you can falsely accuse someone anonymously and just put it out there and never make a retraction if it's not true.
And there are services that exist today. You can buy these subscriptions where they will go into your social media network and undo all of the libel and the slander.
So that is kind of a help for people when you've been falsely accused. I know there's a website, too. A lot of people go to Snopes.com just to see if something is true or not before you post something all over Facebook or social media. But because people can do that anonymously and say anything they want to say without any kind of accountability, we are seeing more and more of this. And I also think because people have their phones and they're taking video of things out of context and then putting them on social media again for people to see. And it may be a totally different context than what you thought. Although when you're caught on video, it's a little bit more of a reality that it probably is
that
true.
That may not be a false accusation.
Yeah.
What makes something that happens online so much more emotionally difficult to deal with?
Don't you think it's because you feel like you're so much more helpless? It's out there for the whole public to see. It's not when somebody just comes to you and says this. You've made it so public, and you have no control over who's going to see it, how many people are going to see it, and you have no control, really, if you can respond to it in a way that can shut it down if it is false.
See, when this happens in the hallways in high school, a student can retaliate because they know the source. But when it happens online, they can't. And that type of anxiety may lead to why we see so many teenagers committing suicide.
It may be a factor in there, certainly with the cyberbullying, where people are accused of a lot of things that are not true and they bully the person online. We do see a rise in suicidal thinking and then suicidal behavior with that.
You're so helpless. Like you said, you can't do anything about it.
That powerlessness. And I'm sure Joseph, when he was thrown into prison, must have felt completely powerless, that he did the right thing in his case. He did not commit a crime, and yet he was put in prison. And, you know, we hear those stories all the time in the news of people who were imprisoned because of a court case, and now we have the ability to test DNA. And then they find out 10 years later that their DNA didn't match and they really were falsely accused.
Right.
When I hear those stories, I think, how do those people recoup from that? I mean, how do you then start your life again?
Right.
So we may not have something so dramatic, but a lot of us have to work on how we respond to those false accusations, because they're going to happen probably at least once in your life.
Right.
And you need to know how to respond.
That is the topic of today's program. Where do you begin when you've been falsely accused? That's the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Thanks for being with us today. You can find more about this program on Dr. Linda's blog at myfaithradio.com, and you can follow her on Facebook at Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Best way to handle being falsely accused is to tell the truth, and if they don't believe it, so be it. And don't waste your energy on people who don't matter.
The other day I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, "Hey, watch out!" But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good, and it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, "Be angry, but do not sin." So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold. Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
The best way, I think, to handle being falsely accused would be to first pray about it and hand it over to the Lord. Second would be to consistently tell the truth on the matter. Third would be to seek counsel from your pastor. Fourth would be to find other godly people who can vouch for your innocence.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about what do you do or how do you respond when somebody falsely accuses you?
How do you respond biblically when this happens?
I know we started the show talking a little bit about Joseph, and he probably said, don't you think, to Potiphar that he didn't do this?
You would think,
Potiphar didn't believe him. So
right.
Sometimes the biblical thing is that you always should try to go to the person.
Right.
So go to the person. Matthew 18 says when you've been offended or you have something against somebody, you go to them. So the best strategy is to try to go to that person. But like with Joseph's case, he went to the person didn't believe him.
Mm-hmm.
So going to the person doesn't always resolve it. And in some cases, it may not even be safe to go to the person. So I'm thinking about where there might be some intimate partner violence or somebody is going to have you lose your job or there's
right.
some reason that it's unsafe, you can't always go right to the person if there's a safety issue involved in that. So you have to use some wisdom with that. But generally speaking, the best thing is to try to go to that person. Now, it doesn't always work. And I've had that situation where I've been falsely accused by somebody and it didn't do me any good to say anything because they just wouldn't believe me. And that is one of those places where you feel very powerless and you feel very helpless of what to do. And like Joseph must have felt when he was thrown into jail.
Well, the reason that someone wouldn't typically respond well to this is because they may not have your feelings in mind because you basically just called them a liar.
Right. Or they just don't want to believe you. They'd
right.
rather believe the negative. Chris, when I blogged on this, three ways to respond to a false accusation, and that's on the MyFaithRadio.com page.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many responses to this, which just told me that there are a lot of people in our listening audience that are dealing with that and have had to confront somebody who is falsely accusing them.
So the question is, where do you begin when you've been falsely accused? Donna and Regina commented that the best thing may be to not respond. And then Bruce said, hey, have a good alibi.
Bruce is thinking ahead about that.
That's right.
So that's interesting to say not to respond. I think at times that is probably one of the best strategies.
Mm-hmm.
So first we're talking about going to the person. I would say if you're in an intimate relationship with that person or they're a friend or they're somebody that you have more of an equal footing with, you would try to go to that person and try because that's the biblical directive. But sometimes when you've been falsely accused, it might just be better to let it go
mm-hmm.
and not respond to it because then you're not giving it any credence. And we see this a lot
right.
of times. So you think with politicians
oh, yeah,
where they're
definitely.
Trying to decide, should I respond to this comment or should I not? And sometimes
mm-hmm.
just letting it go, like Regina and Donna said, is probably good because you're not giving any attention or any credence to the false claim.
You know, Dr. Linda, it would seem like there's a fine line between turning the other cheek and necessary self-preservation. Like at times, you do have to address the situation here.
You do. And I'm sure the temptation there is to take it in your own hands and to really go after the person, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just go after the person and retaliate. And then I think of what Joseph did. And he's in prison. He's sitting there. He doesn't go into the prison and start yelling around about what Potiphar did and how bad it was. And I can't believe he's a jerk. And, you know, he
right.
doesn't do any of that. So there is a point where if you can stand up to it, and you think something will change, that's one thing. But when the person doesn't take any responsibility for that false claim, that's when you're in a position that you have to react in a godly way. And that isn't always easy to do because the person isn't acknowledging their part in the problem.
Barbara hit on something this week online, and I think she has something that's key here. You respond respectfully and with as many facts as possible.
Yeah, I agree with that. But even when the facts are there, if you're dealing with somebody who's very insecure mm-hmm. and who lacks trust and cannot have an honest conversation, and honestly, that is the characteristics of people who are false accusers. So accusations fly when people feel threatened, intimidated, or when they don't have the conflict skills to go to the person and check things out before coming to a conclusion. So, yes, even if they're doing all of that and they're coming at you because they're insecure, they're distrustful, they are intimidated, they just want to put you down so they can elevate themselves, all of those motivations may be what's motivating someone to give a false accusation. But even so, Barb is right. You do have to speak the truth in love. You have to be respectful. And it is a good idea to come back out with facts, not yes. attacking
right.
the other person's character, or start to blame them in return, which is mm-hmm. what is a temptation sometimes to do.
And another temptation would be, at this point, you're angry.
Yes.
So you may start making things up. And that's when the facts go out the window, but you can't go into the situation with that.
Do you do that? Do you, when you get angry, then do you just start making things up? It's kind of, I've never heard anybody say
occasionally.
That.
Occasionally.
You do?
No, no. My point is when people get angry, that you don't necessarily know what may come out of your mouth.
When
you get on an anger
If you're
streak.
Too angry, because
right.
you're, yeah, so sometimes you say things, although it's interesting because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you do have to look at what's in your heart, and that's mm-hmm. kind of the key motive for the Christian person, the person of faith, is that what's in your heart? Do you want to retaliate? And when we think about Matthew 5:44 of loving our enemies, of blessing the person who's just cursed us, praying for somebody who's despitefully used us, that is just such not the normal thing to do, but it is the biblical way to respond. And that's with God in us that we can do this. I think one of the verses that really helps me is that Romans 12:19 says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord."
You know, Jesus spoke a lot about false accusers.
And he certainly had them.
Well, yeah, and one of the biggest ones is Satan himself. That's his tactic.
Right. He's a liar.
Right.
And he's an accuser.
And I think Jesus had to speak to that because he knew, hey, this was going to be a struggle for anyone who claims his name.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. So even though we do try to go to the person and we try to deal with it, we still are going to have to deal with the fact that we have people who don't deal with conflict very well, and they certainly don't do it in a healthy way. That's why I wrote that book,
right.
We Need to Talk, because it's a book that has a number of practical tips in it. And, you know, I'm going to plug that book just because I know that book has been so helpful to so many people. And it does help you when you're unfairly accused, because it gives you ways to respond to especially difficult people who do that on a regular basis. You know, people that have personality issues where their character is really about falsely accusing, so they feel better about themselves. There are people who do that to feel better about themselves. We still have to respond in a respectful way, in a loving way, and we still have to bless those people who curse us. It doesn't mean we can't say what's true, but if they don't accept it,
right.
we still have to respond in a godly way.
And that's where you said you can't control the person, but you can control how you respond to that person. And that puts it in ballpark. And it can be tough, but it is possible.
But with the Holy Spirit in right. you, and that verse that I just read in Romans, reminding ourselves that even though we don't see anything happening right now, that the Lord will deal with that person at some point. And that is the part that usually helps people, is that when we start to think, okay, the battle isn't mine, it's really mm-hmm. the Lord's, that He will go before me, and He's a shield around me,
right.
and He's going to take that battle for me. Once we get that mindset that God is going to eventually deal with that person, I think it's easier to calm down and to not feel like we have to constantly be proving how this is not right.
One of the big Greek words that you hear from the word is paraclete. And it's not a pair of cleats that you wear, but paraclete, it's a helper.
Right.
It's an assistant that the Lord sends. That plan was in place because Jesus knew that we would struggle with this.
Right. And so the Holy Spirit in us mm-hmm. is able to calm us down. It's able to give us the fruit of the Spirit when we need to respond with patience and long suffering. And sometimes when you've been accused and things don't look like they're resolving, mm-hmm. we need that long suffering to get through that moment. When we come back on the other side of the break, I want to go through some scriptures, Chris, because there's a really good chapter, a couple of chapters in Psalm that I think are very helpful.
Well, as always, you can learn more about this show and other shows at myfaithradio.com. You can catch Dr. Linda's blog, and you can also find her on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps. We'll be right back.
I think the best way to handle the situation is to continue to be faithful. Your faithfulness to the truth will stand much longer than the falsity of lies.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
Some days I simply have to fight discouragement. When those days come, I like to read the Psalms and meditate on the cure for my discouragement. Take Psalm 103, for example. David, feeling discouraged, talks to himself in a way that uplifts his soul. He tells his soul to bless the Lord and to remember the benefits of serving God. David wrote this psalm to encourage himself in the Lord, something I know I need to do regularly. Instead of focusing on all of his problems, David decided to engage his will and rehearsed the goodness of God. He begins the psalm by blessing the Lord. Then he speaks to his soul and reminds himself of all that God does for those who are faithful to him. So when you feel discouraged, do what David did and encourage yourself in the Lord. It will transform that discouragement to praise and gratitude. Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder, what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, available on Dr. Linda Mental's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
Best way to handle being falsely accused is probably to put the evidence out on the table and just put it like it is and tell the truth to them. And if they can't take that and they just believe whatever they want, that's their problem.
We are back, and you're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about being falsely accused.
Dr. Linda, you found in Psalms that the psalmist David had some things to say about this.
Yeah, we talked about Joseph, but I really found that the psalmist David provides wisdom for this issue in Psalm 3, 4, and 5. And I spent some time in those three chapters and really studied this. David begins by stating that there are many who rise up against him, but his response to that rising up against him is to remember that the Lord is a shield for him. The Lord hears David's cries for help, and he listens. So our first response should be cry out to the Lord. He hears you in your distress. You're not alone, and he's aware of what is happening. Psalm 4:3 says, the Lord will hear when I call on him. That's really good, isn't it, that the Lord hears us when we call and we can cry out to him.
In Psalm 3:5, it says you can trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, earlier I mentioned, and I'll say this again, one of the hardest parts of dealing with being falsely accused is anger. It just makes us really angry.
It does. And so if you continue in these three chapters, so David is first saying, cry out to the Lord, tell the Lord, throw it on him, let him hear your distress. And that's always a good place to take your distress, is to the Lord. The second part of that response is be angry and do not sin. Here's where we find that part in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Be angry and do not sin is the directive. So anger is acknowledged as a real emotion that rises up when we're falsely accused. But the challenge is to feel that anger and not sin in response to it. And, you know, Chris, this often takes great control, like we talked about before, only possible with the Holy Spirit in us. So in Psalm 5:3, it says, in the morning, I will direct it to you. And I love that. When you've been falsely accused and you wake up and you're distressed by all of this, mm-hmm. and you begin your day by crying out to the Lord, and then you take that anger to the Lord and you say, okay, I'm angry, I'm acknowledging my anger, but Lord, help me not to sin in my anger today.
What do you do, though, when the anger keeps coming back time after time after time, especially because it's so unfair.
I know, and that's really hard. The anger can feel really big. But the thing to remember is you have control over it. Now, one thing that helps is not to dwell on it and to ruminate on the unfairness. And that's where I have to change my thinking. Mm-hmm. I have to get off of it and distract myself away from that unfairness. Because unfairness, ruminating on that, going over and over that, takes you nowhere. It just absolutely is not helpful. The more you keep giving it power in your mind, the more upset you will become. So instead, I would consider the third response from that group of Psalms. It's meditate, be still, and put your trust in God. So David is saying, sit quietly before the Lord and allow him to direct your thoughts and actions. Ask him for wisdom in terms of what to do. So meditate with your heart on your bed and be still is what Psalm 4:4 says.
But we don't want to do that. We want to go get the person that created the injustice to begin with.
I know, and you had someone comment on that, too, from our online comments.
Right. It was, and she says, I used to defend myself, but I found out if I just forgive and give it to God, the truth comes out, and big time.
Mm.
It may take a while, but knowing that I and God know the truth helps. I'm dealing with it in my family right now, waiting for the truth.
That's really good.
Yeah.
You know, so God assures us that if our attitude is right, he will protect us if we put our trust in him. He says that. He is our security. We have to remember, he is our security. And in Psalm 5, David reminds us that he will destroy those who speak falsehoods. Look at Psalm 5, 6. So in our culture of accusations and offense and falsehoods, we have to remember our response of faith. Our shield is God. It's not man. It's not trying to get it all right. And I want to close with one of my favorite verses, which is Isaiah 54, 17. No weapon that is fashioned against you will succeed, and you shall confute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. So keep that in mind, that the Lord is your defender. Well, that's all the time we have today. Many thanks to our producer, Matt Garcia, and thanks, of course, to my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, remember, we're here doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.